some of you have probably seen I've been traveling all over the place lately. We've been to some really great places, but I gotta tell you, I love being home with my girls. I love getting to sleep in my own bed with my Helix mattress. Everybody is unique, and that includes how we sleep, and that's why Helix offers several different mattress models to choose from, all designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Helix wants you to have a mattress that's perfect for you and the way that you sleep. But how do you know which one is best for you? Well, super simple. Just go to helixsleep.com/Sadie and take their 2-minute sleep quiz. Helix will match you to the perfect model to give you the best sleep of your life. It is seriously a game changer, y'all. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. So go to helixsleep.com/Sadie and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep can start now. Just go to helixsleep.com/Sadie and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. What's up, friends? Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome back to the Well That's Good podcast. I truly hope y'all are having a great week. But per usual, it's Wednesday, and it is about to get so much better. Y'all, I am so excited for this conversation, because let me just tell you, even preparing for the conversation with the guest we have on today, I was so encouraged. I was so strengthened. I was listening to her podcast on like 1.5 to get all of it in that I could possibly get in to just steward this conversation, but it's impossible to get all of it in one conversation. So I'm about to introduce you to your new favorite person that you need to dive into her books and her messages. We have Jess Connolly on the podcast. Welcome.
I am so honored to be here. I'm so grateful for you and your ministry and your work and how you're encouraging women and all the people. So thank you so much for having me.
Yes, truly. It is a gift. Like this morning, I was listening to your podcast. I'm scrolling through and I'm like looking for all the ones that, you know, wanted to kind of dive into a little bit before we had this conversation. And I truly could not get enough. I was like, how fast can I listen to her talk that I'm still obtaining everything? Because I wanted to get so much in. And truly, like, your ability to communicate with people, but it's so relatable and so biblical, is such a gift to this world. So I'm so excited for this conversation, but also just to introduce you to so many people that follow me that might haven't found some of these, the books you're putting out. And just before we start, I want to shout out, she has a new book coming out in April, Tired of Being Tired. Amen to that. I definitely needed those words. So we're going to dive into everything. But Jess, before we do, I have a question that I ask every single person who comes on the Well That's Good podcast to kick us off. And that is the question, what is the best piece of advice you have ever been given?
Ooh, I love that question. What is the best piece of advice I've ever been given? Okay. I will tell you, this is like a spiritual piece of advice, but I honestly think it has unlocked so much freedom in not just the spiritual parts of my life, but there was a gal that I was friends with in college. I wouldn't even say I was friends with her. I just admired her a lot. And I noticed that when we would pray in group settings, she had so much authority and she just seemed to have so much wisdom. And I asked her, hey, how did you get so good at praying? Like, how are you so good at prayer? And I had not yet come to have the wisdom and understanding that you can't be good at praying because it's just talking to God and we can all do that. But so I was like, how do you get good at praying? And she said, you know, I just say what I'm really thinking and I don't fake it. And she said, I just use my own voice when I talk. I don't use like a sweet Jesus voice. I don't use a prayer voice. I just talk to God. And I will say it's so interesting. That shifted something in me. And I will tell you, I think probably since that day, 20 something years ago, I've had hundreds of people ask me like, how are you good at praying?
Wow.
How do you do that? And same with like communicating or ministry or teaching or even parenting. And my advice is always the same. I just use my real voice.
Yes.
I just say what I'm thinking. I just say what I'm feeling. I talk to God in my normal voice. And so again, it's kind of spiritual, but it's also really been kind of strategic in my life that anytime something feels really hard or difficult or insurmountable, I just do it the most honest way I can. And that usually seems to help.
I love that. That is such a good piece of advice. And it's so true that we tend to have this temptation to put on this like spiritual voice or spiritual sounding voice. And actually, my mom always says this, like, we do this podcast together and we'll have like messy conversations, and she'll be like, okay, I don't like, we sound too like women's ministry, like, because there is like a women's ministry voice that sometimes you accidentally get into whenever you start talking about a certain topic, or you're in a podcast setting, or you're talking about a book. And it's so refreshing actually hearing your content. Even I noticed that in the podcast, that you just speak so relatably. And I love that. I love that so much. And it's such an encouragement to people listening that if you do any form of ministry, or even just in your workspace, don't fake it or put on a voice to match what you think the setting's supposed to be. Like, that's like our whole message: live original, be who you are in every setting. And God made you who you are to fully be who you are in Him in those places. So what a great start and piece of advice. You know, you said something talking about why you were writing this book that I want to talk about, because I actually related to it so much. You were talking about writing a book about being tired, and how there's all these other books that have been coming out about the exhaustion we're living in and all of the different things and burnout and how to cope with it. And you said you just couldn't really relate to so many of the messages that people were putting out there, which is exactly how I have felt. I feel like there's all these books coming out about, you know, if you're tired, like, just quit everything or cancel everything or do the, and it's like these great ideas, except for I just look at my life and I just don't really feel like that advice really works with the lifestyle that I'm, or even what I'm really called to, or what I even think is the best or right piece of advice for my life.
Yeah.
And so whenever I heard you say that about this book, I was like leaning in, because like, okay, this is a book about being tired, but it's not the same message that's just like, okay, then quit. And so what, tell us a little bit about this book, why you're writing it, and even though you couldn't relate to those books, why you felt like you were going to take it at a different angle.
Yeah. Well, my story is this. I've been talking about it so much, thinking about the book, that I've had to look back and say, when did I first feel really tired? Like, when did I start to really first feel a ton of exhaustion? And for me, looking back at my life, the first time I felt really exhausted was in college. And I don't know about the gals listening or about you. I mean, I know a little bit about what college was like for you, but I wasn't tired because I was out partying, and I really wasn't tired because I was studying, to be honest with you. But I was tired first in college, because that's when I first started to perceive what other people believed a good, godly woman looked like and what she did. And so I started to try to live into that identity. I wanted to be serving the most. I wanted to be joyful. I wanted to be in four different Bible studies. I was on staff at my first church in college. Like, I wanted to be using my gifts and teaching and loving and serving. And I wanted to be a good and present friend. And I wanted to be a rally gal who drop everything and do something for a hard season. And that was when I first just kind of started to realize, like, there's this expectation, and I want to do it well, and I want to do it well for God. And for me, that moved into early marriage and motherhood. And I had 3 kids in 3 years. So we started our family kind of like fast and furious, and we were in ministry, and we were planting churches, and we were doing all these things. And of course, the fatigue just continued. But as time went by, I actually like started to see it as a badge of honor. And when I would push past my physical boundaries of what my body needed to rest, and when I would push past my spiritual limits of really like how much I could carry or how many burdens I could carry, or when I would zip up my emotions, or when I would take a lot on my mind, I was proud of myself. I thought that I was being very godly. And I lived like that for a really long time, until just a few years ago, where I had read all the books on rest. I knew I needed to rest. I knew that there was this invitation from God that I was missing out on. But like you said, I would read them and I'd feel shame. I'd think, my life is not quiet. It's not hushed. I can't just quit everything. And I don't think I'm supposed to quit everything. I don't think that would be obedient. But I kind of hit this wall and I said, but my friend and Savior Jesus, who I have based my entire life around, says in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And if he says that, there has to be a version of that that actually is true for me. And so what I actually did is I researched the scientific method, which I remembered like a tiny bit from high school about the scientific method. I was like, I think there's an actual process that people go through to see some kind of change or to learn something. And so I said, I'm going to write a hypothesis about what I think might be true about rest. I'm going to research, I'm going to study God's word. I'm going to study as many other books as I can. And then I'm going to use my own life as an experiment. And if there's a way that I can experience realistic rest from God in a kingdom way without quitting everything, without going on like a 3-year sabbatical, without like totally quitting social media and never going back to it again, I'm going to try to figure that out. And that's how Tired of Being Tired came to be.
Yo, there are just some decisions in life that are no-brainer decisions. Like Christian just got offered to go on this amazing trip, and I'm like, that is a no-brainer. You are going. Well, if you're looking for a no-brainer decision for your business, look no further than Stamps.com. The Stamps.com mobile app is like having a post office right in your pocket. You can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. You can even schedule package pickups through your dashboard. All you need is a computer and a printer. Plus, they'll even send you a free skill so that you have everything your business needs to get started. Stamps.com automatically shows you the cheapest and fastest shipping rates from different carriers and offers crazy low rates that you can't find anywhere else, like up to 89% off UPS and USPS, and you can order shipping and mailing supplies, labels, and printers right from the supply store. So you or your team, you don't have to go running out and get something the last minute. They have everything that you need right there. With Stamps.com, you can also mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running. It's seamlessly connects with every major marketplace and shopping cart for online sales, which is why Stamps.com has been a huge part of the success of both my company, LO, and my dad's company, Duck Commander, and shipping products all over the world. Access all the shipping and mailing services your business needs right from your computer or your phone anytime you need it. No more waiting in line at the post office or searching through a bunch of different carrier options. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code WHOA for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. This is so simple, guys. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter the code WHOA. Gosh, that's so good. That's so cool. One of the stories that made me laugh, and it only made me laugh because I feel like I can relate to you in so many ways. Like if we actually sat down over coffee, we'd probably be laughing at all the silly like tendencies that we both have, because I like to kind of be at high capacity. I like to, and even out of like feeling like you need rest, you start writing a book on rest, which is like not restful at all. And then studying everything and doing hypothesis. And that is just like so something I would do. It's like, okay, I know I need to do this. Now I'm going to make this into a message in a Bible study, into this, into that, because that's just how my brain works. But in the process, God's speaking to you and working it through you, and you actually end up getting the rest and the understanding and the full truth and closer to Jesus and all of it. And so God's so good. He knows even our personalities and how we and our tendencies, and meets us in those moments. But it made me laugh only because this would be so me, but it wasn't necessarily funny, but how you came to this point where you're going to write the book and then you get like super exhausted. So your first meeting with your new publishers and how that went down. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. So I was supposed to write a book, and I had joked for years that I was going to write a book on rest, because what you and I know is our best messages come out of our biggest weaknesses, where God's brought victory and healing. And so that had been my story for years. I wrote a book called Wild and Free that was about biblical identity, because I had struggled with biblical identity. I wrote a book called Dance, Stand, Run that was about holiness, because I wanted to understand personal holiness and what that looked like in our lives. And I wrote a book called Breaking Free from Body Shame, because I'd struggled with body shame my whole life, and God brought victory and healing. And so I would joke, I'd tell people all the time, I'm going to write a book on rest next. This book, I need it. But I didn't really mean that. Like, I didn't really mean that because I knew this is out of place of victory in my life. And so I had a meeting with my publisher and I was supposed to be writing a book with them. And I was really just in the thick of this breakdown, like just spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. I was struggling with insomnia. I was struggling with really intense anxiety and panic attacks. Mm-hmm. I have an autoimmune disease and I have a couple of different health things. My body was just breaking down. Like all of my symptoms were flaring. I was really struggling. I couldn't control my emotions. I'm a local church leader who was like struggling to want to go to church because I was just so spiritually exhausted and I was not doing well. And so I called the publisher the week before our meeting and I said, I'm going to give it to you guys straight. I am a hot mess. You don't want me in your offices right now. I said, I don't have a book. I don't have a good idea. I don't have any wisdom to share. I'm not great. And they said, well, why don't you go ahead and come and we'll just process where you're at. And like, we love you and we just want to be on your team. And this was so generous of them. This was a new publisher. I'd never published a book with them. And on the way there, I decided to do like a little recon. And I was like, I'm going to just research a little bit about rest. I'm going to see like what people are saying about it. I'm going to read a few things in the Bible. And actually, that's when I came up against that Matthew 11 verse, which I had heard over and over
again. Yeah.
But I hit a point with God where I was like, are you serious about this? Are you serious? If you're serious, what does that mean? And so I went to that meeting and they were so loving and so generous, my publisher, and they let me just sit in that room and cry and say things out loud. And I said, you know, the women I know are physically exhausted in this way, and this is what it looks like. And they're emotionally exhausted in this way, and they're spiritually exhausted. And I don't think anybody's talking about that. And somebody just sat behind me on a whiteboard and wrote it all down and took pictures of it and said, you know, we'll see if this turns into a book. And God in his kindness, let me take a very long time before I ever turn that into a book. Again, I had to go home and see, like, is this true for me first? And I was so relieved that I found it's not just true for me. It's true for all of us.
Yeah. Well, it just made me smile because I was like, that is so the Lord and like so kind. First of all, your publishers to let you have that space. But also like what made me smile and make me so happy about the story is just like your true honesty to tell them exactly where you're at and say like, I am not the person that needs to be writing this book right now. I can't even write a book. Here's the situation. Here's what the ugly side is, which I feel like just people don't do. They try to push past that. They try to just get the job done, do the thing. And then that's when it leads to those burnout moments, those I really can't do it moments. But when you're honest and let people into that, you get to open the door for conversation. And then what God began to do in that moment was actually the start of this amazing book. And it really is so cool. I feel like the moment you just kind of express how exhausted you are in those safe spaces and someone helps you through it. Because I remember this year, Passion Conference was in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium and it was just like it was a really big deal, you know? And I've spoken at conference for the past, I think, four years, maybe 5 years now. And right before conference this year, I was just exhausted. Like, I have two kids now and, you know, a 2.5-year-old at the time, a 6-month-old. And just, we were traveling so much. We were doing so much. Being full-time mom, obviously, my first and most important job. And there was just, like, so much going on. We had a book come out. And Passion was around the corner. And I love Passion. I love the conference. I love what God does in those moments. God has always been gracious and given me kind of my message a long time before conference. And this time I had nothing. So I was just exhausted. I was like, how in the world am I going to, you know, write a message? And obviously, you know, leaning into Lord, but there's just a lot of aspects of that is really exhausting. And so we had like a Passion retreat and it was at the very beginning of December and Passion Conference is in January. I still don't know what I'm going to talk about anything. And we get there and Louis's like encouraging everyone and, you know, he's just like being as he is an amazing pastor, kind of passing over there. And then he's kind of talking about how we're going to be really spirit led. And, you know, some of you guys, y'all might not even get to speak and like, just be okay with that. And I'm like volunteering. I'm like, I don't have to speak like right here. Like if the spirit is leading, take me out. And I remember I came up to Louis after and I was like, honestly, if I don't need to preach this year, like, it's fine. Like, maybe, like, I know that you said that and I'm okay if that's me, you know? So if we get into the moment and we need to cut something, like, just cut me, you know?
Wow.
And I was just, and I was honestly crying when I said it. I was like, I'm so tired. Like, wow. I am so tired. And it's just amazing that right after that moment, when I got home, I felt like it was really cool because the Lord just put it on my heart to text a friend and say, like, hey, can you help me with, like, waking up in the morning? Because I'm so tired, but that's my only time to sit with the Lord. So I had a friend. She texted me every morning at 6 a.m. and was like, go spend time with the Lord. And she would pray over me. She doesn't even live in my state. She'd pray over me. So I'd get up at 6. And it's ironic because you actually said this in your book. You're talking about how, like, it's not a nap you need. It's not a vacation that you need. You know, that's not, like, the thing that's going to cure your rest. So for me, it wasn't getting the extra sleep in the morning that I thought I needed because I'm a mom and I'm tired. I actually needed to wake up in the morning and have 2 hours before my kids were up and sit with the Lord and work on my message with Him and just be with Him. And out of that, out of that time came this message that I preached at Passion that has impacted so many people. But before it impacted anyone, it impacted me. And I really just talked about my love for the Word and my desire for the Word and how the Word changes everything. And it was just like from a place of overflow of what me and the Lord had kind of built over the last month. And so I say all that to say, like, it was just super relatable to me, this whole message that you were talking about. But can you speak to the person right now who is feeling absolutely exhausted? And they're kind of like I was, or kind of like you were, where they're like, I like need to have a hard break. I need to stop, but that's not practical right now. How do you practically start to get rest in today and tomorrow, you know, for the person who's just downright exhausted?
Well, first of all, I think one thing that keeps us from getting the rest that we need is that the enemy's just cunning. He's just a liar, and he's good at deceiving, unfortunately. And I think one campaign he's kind of led against exhausted people everywhere is that he either makes us feel pride about it, like I talked about, like, oh, this is good, I'm doing good. And so then we don't get rest because we think it's somehow godly or righteous or strong that we keep going. Or he makes us feel extreme shame about our fatigue. So we feel like there must be something wrong with me. I must be weak. I must be doing it wrong. Something must be wrong with me if I'm this tired. Instead of, like, for example, hearing your story, if you had come to me in early December, a month before Passion, and said, I'm so tired, I would have said, that tracks. That hits. It would make sense that you would feel, Sadie, spiritually exhausted as you're teaching and you're preaching and you're leading so many people. It would probably make sense that you're probably physically tired. You've got two small kids. You know, I would imagine just being alive in the world in the year of our Lord 2024, we are all on a level of mental exhaustion. We're overstimulated. We are distracted. We're multitasking at all times. So I think the first thing I want to say to somebody who would say, I'm exhausted and I can't stop everything, my first thing I want to say is just grace to you, compassion to you, peace to you. Your God, your Father who loves you, he says in Psalm 127, why do you get up early and why do you stay up late and why do you work in vain? Don't you know that I give rest to those I love?
Yes.
And so I would say, just so you know, he's not disappointed in you that you're tired. Your fatigue does not mean you're weak. It means you're human. And also, your fatigue and continually pushing past it is actually not a fruit of the Spirit. So living tired is not a fruit of the Spirit.
That's good.
But then I would say to start to receive realistic rest, just every day, little sips of God's grace, we've got to know what kind of tired we are because there's actually multiple different kinds. And so in the book, I talk about four main kinds, which are spiritual fatigue or spiritual exhaustion, physical fatigue, mental fatigue, and emotional fatigue. So our spirit, our body, our mind, and our emotions. And those are actually really different. And they sometimes what's confusing is that they present in similar ways. Somebody might think, I need a nap, or I need to get more sleep at night, or I need a vacation. But what they really need to do is sit with the Lord. or what they really need to do is process their emotions.
Yeah.
Or what they really need to do is take some things off their plate. Maybe there are some things on their plate that actually shouldn't be there. And so the first thing I would encourage them to do is find out what kind of tired they are. And tired of being tired, there's a whole quiz. It's actually my favorite thing to do. And now when I sit with people, I went on a date with my husband about 2 months ago. He was like, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just been a heavy week. I was like, babe, can I give you the tired of being tired quiz right here? And I pulled it up on my phone and I was like, okay, mostly C's, you're mentally exhausted. Here are the things to do. So I'd say the first thing is they need to know what kind of tired they are so they can begin getting those realistic hits of rest.
Friends, it is so easy to get stressed about meal planning, especially all you moms out there. My gosh, it is stressful. All the shopping, cooking, storing, cleaning, all of it can just be a chore, especially if you're trying to stick to a health goal or, you know, you have a family to feed. It can just be hard. And Factor is ready to help you eat stress-free this spring with their delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every Factor meal is fresh, never frozen, crafted by chefs, and approved by dietitians. Plus, they're ready to go in just 2 minutes. Factor offers 35 different options to choose from every single week, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, and Veggie. And with over 60 add-ons, you'll be satisfied all day long. So I'll actually show you my Factor app. We literally use this every single week. We love Factor. We often eat their meals because they're just really easy and honestly delicious. We've been so impressed by it. But see, I have all my meals selected. I actually get my boxes every single Monday, and we look forward to it on Monday because then we have kind of our meals for the week. I like to bring mine to work too, because it's just like a super easy lunch. Christian and I love the steak one. It's so good. Honey loves that one too. That girl's got some bougie taste. She loves that steak. But also we love so many other ones. I love the taco bowl. I pretty much always have the fajita chicken taco bowl in my car every week because that's like the best lunch. And then also another one the girls really like, we all like, honestly, we all share it, is the like cheesy chicken and broccoli rice. It's super, super good. Factor fits right into your schedule without the hassle of prepping, cooking, and the cleanup. So you can get out of the kitchen and back to doing what you love. Plus, you can customize your weekly meals to get as much or as little as you need. And you can even pause or reschedule deliveries whenever you want to, which is such a nice feature, especially as we're traveling so much. It's nice to just hit pause on it. And when we get back, know that we're going to have meals in the fridge. So if you're looking to get a little fancy with your Factor meals, they even offer meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, which, by the way, is absolutely delicious, shrimp, truffle butter, and broccolini. Factor is the key to fast, healthy meals without all of the fuss, and they honestly are so delicious and really high quality. And in April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long, so keep an eye out for that Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the meals with the lowest carbon footprint. So head to factormeals.com/woe50 and use the code woe50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's the code woe50 at factormeals.com/woe50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I will also be using that code, so go check out Factor. This is like so perfect that you're on my podcast right now, because I feel like I have just walked out this whole process of overcoming like mental exhaustion and all the things.
Yes.
And so I feel like I can use my story. I can be like a representation of everyone listening right now to talk about all of my problems, and you can speak into my life, because this was so cool. Like today, as I was listening to all your podcasts and like reading up on your book, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm walking through this right now, and you're putting words and language and practical steps into what I've been trying to navigate, which is just such a helpful tool and gift in this book. So what's cool, so after Passion, right? Like my life did not slow down at all. I had so many speaking events for literally 3 months. Up until last week, we have been going, traveling, speaking, doing all the things. I finally have like a month break, so now I'm kind of like regaining. Okay, woo. But I couldn't wait until all the trips are over to mentally get in the right place, because if I tried to wait, I would have been like out of my mind. I will say it was just kind of a struggle over the past 3 months, because it was just one thing after another thing after another thing. And each kind of event I had really required a different message, it was like a lot of prepping in the process. And then again, mom of two kids, first and foremost job, all of the things. And so it's just kind of been a lot. Well, we came to this one moment where I was having nightmares. And it's interesting because I saw you kind of talked about the same thing before writing this book. And all of a sudden, the bed became like a scary place for you. It wasn't a place of rest anymore. And that was how I was. I didn't want to go to sleep because I was scared of what my dreams were going to be. And I just was exhausted in the midst of already not sleeping, just waking up with kids and then needing to sleep because we're traveling and I'm speaking so much. And so it just felt like a spiritual attack. It was just like really heavy. And so I started talking to people like my counselor through it. I started talking to just mentors and friends and just started opening up. And not a lot of people, honestly, like even some of my best friends, I didn't even share it with until just recently. And they're like, why didn't you tell us? I was like, honestly, I was just needing to get through it with the counselor and the mentors and the Lord and my husband. And I just couldn't even talk about it that much because I really just needed to get through it. But it was interesting because one of the conversations I was having with a counselor who used to walk with me when I was having extreme anxiety and panic attacks years and years and years ago, I haven't faced that in a long time. I was talking to them and they said, Sadie, you're not where you used to be. Like you have a sound mind. And it was really cool because she just reminded me like, hey, you used to be in a dark place of like anxiety and you were having all that. That's not where you're at right now. You're just tired and you have a sound mind. And she just told me who I was. And I was like, you're right. I do have a sound mind. I know that about myself. That's what I've been given. I'm just tired because that adds up. That tracks. Like this is my situation. Yes. And of course I'm going to be exhausted. And she just kind of reminded me who I was. Well, anyways, after that, I started looking up songs on peace and a song actually called Sound Mind. And I just like literally clothed myself in the truth of who I was. Well, when I was reading your book and hearing you talk about identity and how, you know, when you're mentally exhausted, you have to like make sure your identity is in the right place. It's amazing because when I think about exhaustion, I never thought about identity playing a key part into my mental capacity through like being tired. But that was brilliant. And that was exactly what I literally just real time experienced about 2 months ago. So can you speak to that message of why anchoring yourself in your identity you've been given helps you through moments of mental exhaustion?
Yes. And also, I know that song you're talking about, Sound Mind, because it plays so on good. Repeat in my house.
It's so good.
So good. That is the anthem. That is the anthem.
Truly.
Oh, so good. Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so let's talk about a little bit the environmental effects, spiritual and physical, that we live in under the effects of this fallen world right now in 2024, at the state of normal for women, but also for men, is mental overwhelm. We actually have totally normalized it. Mm-hmm. But it's not okay. It's not normal. It's not healthy. It's not serving any of us. So I think what happens is that a lot of us begin to experience those effects as mental fatigue or as anxiety, which is so real. It then begins to present in our bodies, or we have insomnia, or we have nightmares, or we even maybe something that's even harder is that I would say like sometimes it doesn't exhibit in those ways. It just kind of seeps into our personality and we just become overly cautious, or we don't say yes to things or we build new fences around our life of like what makes us feel safe. And I think the identity work really is so freeing because it helps us not overly identify with the brokenness. For example, just kind of coming into alignment or agreement with this identity of like, I'm an anxious person, or even like, I don't even love to say the word, like I have anxiety.
Yeah.
Instead, I'd rather say like, I'm experiencing anxiety.
Yes.
Just to remember, like, this is not even something that I have to hold on to. And that's not to spiritually bypass it and to say it's not real. It's all real. It's all real. And it all makes sense. And it all adds up right now because there's too much coming at us. But the identity work to come back into alignment with who God has said we are, to actually rest in that, to stop trying to prove that to other people, to maybe just use what little precious energy we have to make decisions and to make rhythms that come into agreement with that more often. And even like that come into agreement with the limitations that our brains have. Like, I love that you say, I need 2 hours before my kids get up. I am the exact same way. If we have to catch a 5 a.m. flight, I have to get up at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. It does not matter. I need 1 hour where I am not speaking to anyone. Where yep. It is quiet mm-hmm. and it is dark and it's me and God and a cup of coffee. And that is actually me just agreeing like, oh, my brain needs this. It has this limitation and I need to serve it. But on the flip side, when I feel anxious, when I feel maybe like depressed, when I feel overwhelmed, then I can come back into agreement and alignment with what God has said about me. I have a sound mind. I have access to peace that passes understanding. The Prince of Peace is near me, with me, in me, and moving in my life. All of those things are true. I can feel this way, but this is the truth. And I can make agreements that come into alignment with that as well.
It's so good. Gosh, everything you're saying, I'm like so glad you're saying. And I always get so excited on these podcasts when we have guests on who are just giving like such great advice, because I'm like, everyone is listening to this and everyone is receiving. So if you're listening to this podcast right now and you have space to like stop and actually write some of these things down, like do it. Do not let this just go in one ear and out the other. That's the beauty of podcasting. It's not just a little soundbite on social media. We're diving into conversations and actually trying to get better from them. One of the things I loved, it was such a practical piece of advice. You're talking about leaning into margin in your life, leaning into those little still small moments and not, you know, overcrowding those things with social media or with the TV you watch or whatever, but like actually give yourself margin. What I loved about it is you're so relatable, because I heard you talking about this and you were saying something along the lines of like, you like oftentimes are looking at people.com because you just like love staying in the know. You're watching Netflix in the shower, which, hey, aren't we all? Like, you know, you're like talking about how you love to like cram.
I love that you say that.
But I was like, this is so good, because I'm like, that is so me. Like, and then I'm like, what am I doing? Like, why am I filling all of this time with like just randomness, like clutter, you know? And it's in those moments where you're like, I actually got this. This is like the coolest, most random thing, but it's meant so much to me. I stopped at this house one time because I was driving past. It's taught me like the biggest lesson to me probably on stopping and having margin in my life. So I was driving past this sweet old couple's house every single day. I don't know them. They sat on their porch together every single day. And it was really sweet. And I guess I just noticed it because it just happened to be when I drive home from work and they were on their porch, and they live like right across from a Dollar General. So there's like not really a view for them besides Dollar General. And they would just kind of watch the people at Dollar General. So I always just kind of noticed it. And I was like, that's so sweet. Like, that's just their thing. Like, they do that. And so anyways, I kept saying to myself, I'm going to write them a note. And I just want them to know that just the picture of their marriage has been really inspiring to me. And one day, I hope my husband and I are sitting on our porch together at their age. And so I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Well, honestly, like months went by and I thought about it every time I passed them. And by the time I would get home, it was just like ADD moment. It was like, whoop, like gone, like just forgot. And so one day I didn't see them. And then I like kept not seeing them. Then I saw like a wheelchair ramp get put in, and I started noticing stuff. And I was like, okay, you know, it's interesting. And I kept thinking like, and then I started overthinking it. Well, I don't want to be weird. Like, where am I even going to put the note? And how am I even going to stop at their house? Like, I don't even know. It just got in my head about it. And so then I saw an estate sale sign, and I got so sad, and I was like, no, did they pass away? Like, I didn't write the note. I felt so guilty. I couldn't believe, like, why did I not just stop? Like, why did I get so in my head about that? So then I see like the times for the estate sale, and I'm like, I'm going to make sure I get to this estate sale, and whoever's there, I'm just going to go talk to them. So I show up like 7 a.m. right when the estate sale starts, and I don't see the older couple in there. There's like a younger woman leading it. And I was like, didn't want to be weird, so I looked around for a little bit, and then I decided to like buy something. I just like literally picked up something and I was going to buy it. And she says, I say, hey, do you know who the owners of this house were? And she said, yeah, they were my parents. And I said, oh, no way. I said, well, you know, I just want to let you know that I pass by this house every single day and I saw them sitting on their rocking chair together. And I told myself every day for months I was going to write them a letter to tell them what an inspiration their marriage was to me, to see them just together every single night on their porch. And I said, I just am so regretful I didn't write that letter to them. And she said, well, I'm so glad you told me that. That means so much to me. And she cried me telling the story. And then she said, you know, my parents actually just passed away a couple of days from each other because they really did just love each other that much that it was kind of that broken heart moment. And anyways, we had just the sweetest moment. I was able to gift her with something and then I left. And then I looked at what I bought. I didn't even know what I bought. And I looked at what I bought and it's this plaque. And I literally have it in my car to this day. And it's literally all about slowing down in life. And it says on the plaque, it says, never hesitate from taking 2-minute vacations to go out and look at the flowers. And and it was just like this beautiful poem almost about just the beauty of slowing down. And I had to tell this story on this podcast because when you're talking about creating margin and leaning into moments that you can be still or that you don't have content going on, and maybe that's writing or receiving content that you're putting out or putting in, man, the power that can happen in those margins for you and for those around you, just seeing people around you, being able to be in those spaces. And it did teach me a lot because, you know, those times you can't get back, you know, and it's not like I sit and live in regret of that. There's a redemptive story to that. And I got to talk to their daughter and that was beautiful in and of itself, but it just taught me a lot about time. And so I just love like the messages that you're saying in this book, they're so practical. They're so relatable. But they're deeply spiritual. And if you get these things that she's saying into your heart and you start to live that way, it will not only change your life, but it will change the lives of people around you. I could ask you a million things on rest, and I really, truly could. But one thing I want to make sure we talk about in this podcast, because your voice to body shame has been one that I know has helped so many people break free of that. As parents of young kids, Christian and I are in a season where sometimes good night's sleep is hard to come by. But thankfully, our friends at Helix Mattress have gotten us covered whenever it is time to go to bed. Helix is a premium mattress brand that offers a tailored sleep experience based on your preferences, your sleep habits, and just your specific needs. With 20 different models, including an award-winning Lux collection and kids mattresses, Helix definitely has something that you're going to love. There are so many awesome options, and you can find the perfect mattress for your sleep preference in under 2 minutes by just taking the Helix Sleep Quiz. I took the Helix Sleep Quiz and it matched me with the Helix Midnight Mattress because Christian and I both wanted something that was not too firm and not too soft. Plus, we're both side sleepers and Helix takes all of that into account. We love our Helix mattress. It's super comfortable and probably our favorite thing about it is it has a cooling effect and you can really feel it when the sheets aren't on it. Like it is actually cold to the touch, which is nice because it keeps you cooler at night. There's no better way to test out a new mattress and by sleeping on it, and Helix knows that. So Helix offers a 100-night trial so that you can try it and see if you love it as much as we love it. I know that you will. Plus, the mattress is actually going to be shipped right to your door for free, which is such a gift and a little extra added happy. It's not just me who loves it. I mean, I could talk about it all day long, but more people do as well. That's why they've been awarded the number one mattress picked by Wire magazine and are even recommended by several leading chiropractors and sleep doctors. So Helix can be your go-to solution for getting the best rest ever. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners today. So go to helixsleep.com/Sadie. Use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep can start now. Just go to helixsleep.com/Sadie and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. Before we even get into questions, can you just tell us a little bit about your backstory and struggle with body shame?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm a woman, so.
period. End of story.
I'm a girl. I was born in the 80s. It was wild out there for a minute. I'm a younger sister. I'm a middle sister. And when I was growing up, my older sister was just 3 years older than me. And she was and is a literal model. I mean, she's exquisite. She's beautiful. And she never made me feel less than, but I mean, my earliest memories are being compared to her. Hmm. She's tall and has dark hair and she's thin. And I'm like been curvy and awkward in my body my whole life. I'm like the clumsiest person you've ever met. And now I just embrace it. But so, I mean, my earliest memories of my body were not loving it. We're feeling uncomfortable in it. We're wanting to shift it and change it. And where that got really problematic was when I became a believer. I met Jesus when I was 15. I had a radical conversion experience. Mm-hmm. And I knew within 24 hours of meeting Jesus that I wanted to be in ministry for the rest of my life.
Wow.
I was sitting on my Bible, sitting on my bed, just pouring through my Bible and probably taught my first message within a year. I knew I wanted to compel other people to see how good this God was that I had met. But unfortunately, especially during that time, especially in the 90s, the church and Christian culture had just co-opted body shame and actually like added a layer of righteousness to it. And so if you were curvy or if you were, you know, our culture standard of overweight, or if you were not somehow seemingly like beautiful, depending on what the cultural standard is exactly right now, you weren't fit for ministry.
Wow.
Or you were maybe seen as lazy or, you know, all of those things. And so throughout my late teens and my early 20s, I heard all of that. And some of the messages were overt and harmful and hurtful. And some of them were just subtle. You know, I just noticed there didn't seem to be a lot of victory and a lot of favor on people who didn't look like the world wanted them to look. And a lot of this, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, has gotten better in the church in the last 20 years. Thank you, God. I'm so glad. But it was rough out there for a little bit. And so I just went like a good 15 years, really taking a lot of like disordered eating behaviors and just lies about my body and my worth, but kind of attaching God to it as well.
Wow.
And it honestly wasn't until my mid-20s where I was already doing ministry. I'd already published a book. I was, you know, teaching and leading and doing all these things and writing Bible studies. And I kind of took a look at my life and I was like, I have all of this freedom in all of these other areas. In all of these other areas, I get to live out this idea of, you know, Psalm 18, that he's brought me out to a spacious place and he saved me because he loves me. But when it comes to my body, I have this very non-kingdom minded view. And I wanted to see what that was about. And so for me, it really truly took about 10 years to do some deep healing work there. I had to get counseling and I had to get therapy and I had to talk to other pastors and I had to dismantle a lot of the seemingly Christian beliefs that I had about my body. But the good news is what I found is that when God made our bodies good at creation, when he uniquely created each of us, that actually cannot be undone by what we do, by neglect, or by what's done to us. And so the purpose of my life, you know, actually didn't have to be about making my body good for God, but coming into agreement with the truth that it already was.
Wow. That's so good. I heard that message that you shared about that word, very good. All right. What was it that you said? Was it muchness or something?
Muchness good. Yes. It's wild. It's this beautiful part in Genesis that God makes, you know, light. He makes night. He makes animals. He makes vegetables. He does all the things. And he says, it's good. It's good. It's good. And then he makes humans. And he says, this is muchness good. That's what the Hebrew means.
Wow. That is so cool. I love it. I love it so much. And I, you know, one of the things on this podcast that I always want to do is like bring out treasures in people's heart. And so I never want people to feel like you have to share like the hardest parts of your story. I only ask to share that because I know so many women. We talk about body image all the time on this podcast because so many, like you started it. I'm a woman, so there's that. And I struggle with body image because don't we all? But it's the same time. Yeah. It's like, but we all don't have to stay there. Like just because that's like the way the enemy has gotten seeming to be all of us, that doesn't mean that that's the way that it's supposed to be. Just in the same way that you talked about tiredness. You're like, just because everyone's living like this doesn't mean that's the way we're supposed to live or that we have to live.
Yes.
And I love how you're saying to us, it's like God said you're very good and not after you work towards becoming very good. You already were and already are, and it's you coming to the realization that you are very good right where you're at. And I have a really, my kind of story with body image where it's interesting because you talk about it like starting from someone that maybe loves you and knows, and it was like not even meant to be a harmful comment, and it just kind of was, or just kind of stuck. And I remember it was like literally elementary school, and it was just a friend. We were all just like hanging out literally at break, or like it wasn't at the playground, it was like a break moment. And, or it must have been middle school because we had break at that time. And one of my very best friends, we kind of looked similar. Like we both had brown hair and brown eyes, and we were best friends and we acted just alike, and people called us peanut butter and jelly. Like that was our thing. And someone was just talking about how similar we are one day. And they were like, oh, y'all are both so similar. And then she said, you know, if you were just skinnier, then y'all would look so much more alike though. And it was like not even meant to probably be as what it was. She was just kind of like, oh, if you were skinnier, then you would look like her.
Yeah.
And then like immediately I felt insecure because I was like, oh,
yeah.
Well, am I bigger? Am I, you know, like then you start asking yourself these questions. And then it's interesting because as time goes on, I just noticed that the enemy kind of always got me with that same angle of like, if you were thinner, or if you were this or that, then you would be enough. And it was like always feeling like with my body, I can get it to the place of enough, but I'm not there yet. So it just led into so much striving, so many unhealthy habits to like get to the place of it finally being enough. And I don't know if it felt like this for you, but it felt like this for me, where it was like every time someone said something along those lines of that lie, it was almost like it affirmed that that was true. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, now it's true. Now, really, if I just worked harder, I could be enough. Or now, and I think so many times we do that. It's like we build our case for the lie to like prove that that's true. But like you, this is actually what a great one of my counselor, I'm shouting her out today, but she was saying to me like, don't build a case for the lie, like build a case of truth, because you have a case for truth that's actually legitimate, that stands. And your case for truth starts in Genesis, where it says, you're very good. I made you to be very good in my image. And so I just think this message is extremely important to talk about. The last thing I kind of wanted to ask you about, kind of on this note of comparison and stuff, you were having a conversation with Jamie Ivey. This was years ago. So if I always have to preface this by saying, if you don't remember this, I can recap it for you, because it was literally 4 years ago, a 5-minute interview that If Gathering posted. But I happened to see it.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, good, good, good. I love this. And she was talking about you, this idea of like taking myself out of the race. Can you just bring that message to us? Because I loved what you shared.
Yes. Yeah. And it applies to both body image and to tiredness.
Yeah.
And it has actually changed my life. And I do want to pause really quickly and say thank you for asking me about body shame. And thank you for being so generous and vulnerable with your story. Mm-hmm. And I just like sense in my spirit, this is something I want to say for anyone who's listening. You are so generous and you're such a good leader and you're so compassionate to say, I'm going to ask you about this deepest part of your heart. I hope it's okay. I love when people ask me about body shame. Mm-hmm. And I love when people ask me how I feel about my body now, because I will take every opportunity I can to tell them the very good news with my full face. I love my body. I love my body.
That's awesome.
I love giving God glory in my body. And if you all need to go find me on Instagram and see that I am not the world's picture of like the tidiest and the most beautiful. And it is, I will kick the enemy in the teeth every day and say, I love this body that he's given me. And I love coming into line with that. So thank you for asking me that. I'm so blessed.
I'm so glad you said that, because I feel the same way. And it was actually after having my two kids that I was like, I love my body. This is the most amazing thing ever. Like, you did make us very good, because how did this just happen? This was a miracle. We're a part of a miracle. We're hosting miracles. Like, it just kind of hit me. And I think it feels weird. Like, it kind of the same way with the tiredness, where it feels like this badge of honor to be like, oh, I'm so tired.
Yes.
And the same way with almost like body image and insecurity, it's almost like this badge that you're like, oh, yeah, I'm insecure. Like, we're supposed to say that. And it feels weird to be like, I love my body. And then, you know, but it's like, no, you should, you know? And so, and that should be celebrated. So I'm actually so glad you said that, because that's something that women need to hear. It should bring freedom to you to say like, I love my body. And it's not just, and it's not because it ended up being in the perfect place or everything is just rocking. It's like, no, it's because I understand what my body is made for and who it's made by. And so like, so glad you said that.
I'm so glad. Okay. So taking yourself out of the running, it's also interesting because story loop, back to the very first thing you asked me when you said, okay, what's the best advice you ever got? I said, you know, just use your real voice to pray. I think one thing that has made you so effective at what you do in your ministry and this podcast and every message you give and every book you've written is that you are very vulnerable and you're such a good leader to say the thing that most people are thinking, to say the thing that like, hey, I think we're all dealing with this, but I'm gonna take one step further and go and look at God's word and reroute it and bring some truth to it. That's why you're such a good communicator.
Oh, thank you.
And so I feel this call in my life to just be a little honest about what I think we're all thinking. So in this interview with Jamie Ivey a couple of years ago, I had just started to roll this idea around in my head. And I just want to humbly present this, that I think if most of us women are honest, a lot of us are in a quiet competition inside our head to be the most everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people are like, oh, I can't be the prettiest, but you do want to be like the most servant hearted, or you do want to be the most present mom, or you do want to get the best grades in school, or you do want to be the easiest to go along with the flow. There's some kind of little banner that we're all trying to live up to. Maybe you want to be the most kind friend, or you want to be the one who always picks up your phone, or you want to be the gal who will come early and stay late. Or you want to, I don't know, even just be the most easy to get along with. I just think we all have these little things.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Jamie a couple of years ago, and I said, I think that something God is doing in my life is that I've decided to take myself out of the running. I actually believe that I could live my whole life looking like I'm trying to give God glory, but I'm really trying to give myself glory by getting this label of like the most.
Yeah.
And the difference is so subtle, but where we land will be so incredibly different. And if I spend my whole life trying to be the most something, even if it looks like I'm trying to give God glory, now God's good and he'll get glory out of it because he's kind like that. But I'll miss out on the abundance of worshiping him as I go.
Yeah.
And so that is a phrase I say a lot in my life over and over and over again. I'm taking myself out of the running. Like even saying things like, okay, I take myself out of the running for being the most present friend. Or, you know, in this season you're out with young kids, like I cannot tell you the pressure I felt 17 years ago raising little kids is so different from the pressure moms felt 40 years ago. But even now, like the pressure to have like a Pinterest perfect childhood, to have like kids all matching and clean and tidy and loving God, apparently they need to be like little disciple makers at 2 and 3 now. And you need a gentle parent, but you also need to be firm, and you also should probably be CrossFit strong, and you also should do blah blah blah.
Oh yeah, and the lunches should be shaped like dinosaurs and butterflies and everything. And the strawberries should be, you know, you should do it with a knife until it's a perfect heart. All the things, yeah. You just gotta take yourself out of the running for all that.
You gotta take yourself out of the running. Let everybody else tire themselves out trying to be the best, except for adults. Like now we can go to other women and say like, hey, by the way, you can take yourself out of the running. And I'm so glad you asked that, because it honestly is the connection between body image and even tiredness. And when people ask like the backstory, okay, like I tell them the whole thing about like, I had a breakdown and I did the hypothesis and that's why I wrote Tired of Being Tired. But also you can imagine the other truth behind that is I had just led this revolution in my own life and with other women and telling them your body's good and we're going to break free from body shame. And guess what? When you keep chasing that, also what you realize is I am pushing my very good body to limits. that I don't need to.
Yeah.
And I am expecting too much of this temple of the Holy Spirit mentally and spiritually and physically and emotionally that he never asked me to carry. And so both are just a continuation of saying, like, I'm taking myself out of the running. This is not what God asked for me. I can't do it.
I love that so much. And, you know, it's funny. People have laughed at me for this because I've told this story before. And I know sometimes I'm too practical for my own good and too honest. But this was just true. Like, I remember when Christian and I were dating and he kept telling me, you know, like, you're the most beautiful girl in the world. And I'm like, that is very sweet, but that is not true. And he would be like, no, like, you're the most beautiful. And I finally just said, I appreciate your heart in saying that. It's just that I don't like it when you say that to me because in my mind, it makes me feel like I just don't believe it because I'm seeing all these other beautiful people in the world. And then it makes me feel like I don't want you to see them because then if you see them, you'll know I'm not the most beautiful girl in the world. And I feel like in competition with the most beautiful girls in the world, you know? And I know that sounds funny, but it's true that like in your mind, you know, we are all kind of like, if you're not careful and if you're not on it, you will compete with everybody and everything and try to be like this best version of or whatever it is and the rooms you walk in. But now it's too hard for sure. It's impossible because it's not just the rooms you walk in. It's not just the cities you live in. It's social media the entire world. So that's why you're always scrolling and you're seeing, oh, I'm not the prettiest. I'm not the fittest. I'm not the most accomplished. I'm not this. And so if you're in the competition, you feel like you're always losing. And you shouldn't feel like you're always losing because you're not in competition. Because God made you who you are to be fully you and the best version of you, but not the best ever there ever was. And so I just like, when you said all that, I was like, this video needs to resurface. Everyone needs to hear this message because this is like, that's what I felt like when I was telling Christian, I don't want you to say I'm the most beautiful girl in the world, mainly because I was saying I'm not in that running and not because that's too much pressure, you know? And so I love the tie to all of it. Truly, I said this at the beginning of the podcast, but friends, I hope I just introduced you to your new favorite person. I feel like I did. She's my new favorite person. I can't wait to read the books that you put out from this point forward. And if you never put out another book, which I hope you do, we have plenty to go off of. No pressure, plenty to go off of. So much content. Thank you for who you are, for the life you lead, for even the wife and mom and the example of a godly woman that you are. And so thank you so much for being on this podcast and for all that you've done, but most importantly, for who you are. We so appreciate it.
Oh, same, friend. I'm so proud of you. I'm following you as you follow Jesus. God is mighty in you, and it's an honor to be doing ministry at the same time as you.
Thank you so much.